Yeah, 5-on-5-5-1. Such a bad image for Ireland. Such a pity a small number of bad people can do this. Of course, we all know the problems with O'Connell Street. Such a stupid decision to put the portal there. And Patrick says, inappropriate behaviour regarding Dublin portal should be inappropriate area that the portal is in. How about putting it in a shopping centre like ILAC, St. Stephen's Green or Dundrum Shopping Centre? Well, I suppose they would argue that would defeat the purpose of it, because the inside of a shopping centre looks the same in Dublin or New York or Chicago or Istanbul or wherever. And the reason they put it there is that the spire is behind them, which is an icon from Dublin, as is the GPO. So you've the modern and the old of Dublin City behind them when people see the image from New York. And somebody wants to, Sean Colvin was the name of that singer who did the version of This Must Be the Place. Sean Colvin, spelled S-H-A-W-N-C-O-L-V-I-N. And Dennis in Cork, age doesn't matter. Alex Ferguson was over 70 when he left Manchester United, and look at the mess they're in since he left. Brings us nicely on to our next guest, David McDade. He's an associate professorial research fellow at the London School of Economics, and he's speaking on the economic value of ageing in Ireland at the Alone's National Conference, Collaborating Our Collective Responsibility, which happens next week in St. Patrick's College, Maynooth. He's going to talk to us about the grey euro and how older people can have a positive impact on the economy. David, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
The word that comes up over and over again when it's referred to the economic sort of aspect of older people is burden. The financial burden of older people. And we're hearing again and again that in the next 30 years, the number of people over the age of 65 are going to double. That's going to increase the burden, that the people who are paying tax won't be able to afford it, and the whole thing's going to go belly up. So you're going to tell us that that's not the case.
Well, I'm going to tell you that there's a very positive side to the equation that people don't talk enough about.
Yes.
And we really... I think we underestimate the value the value of older people, and I think that actually goes beyond economic arguments. But I can speak to it from an economic perspective and just highlight some of the most profound and really important things that older people contribute, such as caring for other people, incredibly important, and that has a huge economic value to the economy. And we tend to overlook that, and we always focus on the negatives. And yet, as people, as they age, particularly if they age healthily, they continue to contribute in many, many different ways: caring, volunteering, spending money, etc. So I think just something very negative about Western European society in terms of the way it perceives aging,
really. Yeah. So give us the stats then. At the moment, what percentage of the population are over 65?
Well, as you said yourself, Ray, I mean, what we're going to see is we're going to see a doubling of the population over 65 by 2050. So probably a better way to look at it is to think about the number of people of working age now who support or could support people over the age of 65. There's essentially four people of working age in Ireland for every person over 65. And that's going to half to two by 2050. So, you know, the doom and gloom side of this would be to say, well, there'll be less money being generated through the working economy, and therefore there's less money to support older people. But that's only part of the picture.
In your work, you've obviously considered the age of 65, which seems to me now an arbitrary age for people to retire at.
Absolutely. And indeed, in England, where I work, I mean, the age has gone up to 67 for people in my age group, certainly. And it's going to go up to 70. I'm sure it will. It's only a matter of time. And it's also true. I mean, the perception of aging has changed. I mean, many people certainly would not consider being in their 60s as being in any way old at all. They would see that as certainly maybe the younger side of middle age these days. So I think we do as a society have to think much differently about how we encourage positive ageing, and it also encourage inclusion in the workforce of older people as well.
And of course, retirement means different things to different people. I'm thinking people who do manual jobs versus people who work in offices. Like when you come to 65, if you've been working at the buildings for, you know, in construction for all your life, you may need to change at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, retirement means different things to different people. And of course, retirement does... should be seen in a way as a way of creating opportunities to engage in new activities. But a lot of that also depends on our financial situation as well, of course, and the security of our pensions and so forth.
Okay, well, let's talk about the opportunities then in retirement. So I suppose this should be win-win, shouldn't it? A win for society and a win for the individual.
Absolutely. And it can be both. There is research from the UK, for instance, which shows that older people contribute a lot more to the economy than they cost in crude terms. And older people, by contributing through volunteering, they can pass on their skills, their knowledge, their experience to other individuals. And as I say, the role they play, the absolutely critical role they play in Irish society in terms of providing informal care, the state could not cope without the contribution that older people make to that.
So whose responsibility do you think it is to change the narrative?
That's not a question necessarily for an economist, but what I would say, I think it's a question that it's something for all of us. And I think it probably starts, to be honest, early in life, in changing our attitudes towards aging. I mean, I'm always struck when I go to East Asia about aging being seen there as the gaining of wisdom, of respect. You honour your elders, you listen to them. And we don't seem to have that same narrative here in Western Europe, in Ireland, in the UK as well. And I think so that starts early in life. But I also think it's about having much more intergenerational contacts and mixing. And sometimes we don't have enough of that as well, I think, in society.
Like, I would have thought that maybe in warmer climes, like you see it when you go on holidays to Portugal or Spain, that there's a lot of intergenerational mixing because everyone's outside in the evening, whereas we don't get the weather, unfortunately. So we don't have those outdoor spaces where people congregate.
There's certainly some of that. I mean, you could argue that the climate does have an impact. But I think there's other things as well. There's the way in which we interact. For instance, I mean, take something I'm very passionate about, which is completely off topic, is park run. But there are plenty of park runs in Ireland, and you go there every Saturday and you'll see people of all ages engaging, talking to each other, running, volunteering, walking. And it's about creating more opportunities, and that's an outdoor opportunity for people to congregate together.
And coincidentally, we're on the road and we're using 5 park run venues next week. So you did know that. But that's
I didn't know that.
So we're big fans of the park run here as well. So just from a government point of view, obviously you mentioned earlier on, it's important that we keep people healthier longer, because if you're not healthy, you don't have a quality of life and you can't contribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the government has an important role to play here in a number of different ways. I mentioned the point about carers and older people being carers. I think the government has an important responsibility to support carers, to give them respite from the caring tasks as well, because that also helps them. I think the government has an important role in promoting healthy aging policies, both through the health system, but also through workplaces, through the environments in which we live. You can create much more healthy cities to encourage walking, for instance. I mean, that's probably less of an issue in some parts of Ireland than in other countries. But nonetheless, the government has an important role to play. It also has an important role to play, in my view, in encouraging part-time work as well, and encouraging people to stay in the workforce if they want to, and also providing financial support for volunteers. And what I mean by that is sometimes volunteering is prevented because civil society organisations can't always afford the insurance and so forth to actually get things to happen. So governments can play an important role there as well.
So they need to facilitate it. Like a lot of companies not too far from where I'm sitting would, you know, be very strict on the 65 thing. I know that in academia, they're less strict and, you know, you can stay on for as long as you like. Can you?
Well, I can certainly speak from an English point of view. There's no retirement, official retirement age in place. And it's a conversation between individuals as to how long they want to continue to work. And I have plenty of colleagues who have, I have worked with somebody who was still working at the university when they're in their 90s. So, it is a much more age-friendly environment in that sense, academia.
So you're saying that governments have to facilitate people. For example, I know in some parts of America, if you care for somebody, and this refers to people under 65 as well as people over 65, that they make it easy for you to do a carer's course. You know, they facilitate that. And then when you get that, you're paid as a carer. So they actually, that's a positive, proactive way of dealing with that, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, so providing financial support and other supports to help people with a caring task, for instance, that's a very good thing to do. Ensuring that people don't get penalized in terms of financial penalties if they're claiming a carer's benefit and they're also earning money from other sources. I mean, that can happen accidentally and cause a lot of distress. So there's lots of things that can be done, but and respite and breaks, and access to support and information is very, very important. So the government has an important role, I think, in facilitating many of these things.
And I know there's talk about putting an economic value on not just caring, but volunteer work and how people, and I'm including people who decide to stay at home and care for their children, how they contribute to the economy. Because that's not, as an economist, you know that there's no price put on that, and there should be.
Absolutely right. There absolutely should be a price put in that. I mean, and some economists do put a price on that. Well, price is the wrong word. Put a value on
A
that
value,
because
sorry, yes.
it's the real value. And you're absolutely right to mention people who have home responsibilities, looking after kids, etc. as well. That's an incredibly valuable thing. It's a big contribution to the economy, and yet it does get overlooked when we worry so much about the kind of cashable bits of the economy, where we're worried about money being spent by health or education and so forth. But there's great amounts of economic value through volunteering. If you put the just even the minimum wage and every hour spent volunteering, that adds up. And the same for all that support in families as
So
well.
the UK, similar to Ireland, we're on a sort of a 5-year political cycle, which I think prevents like long-term planning, which could benefit us all. Which must be, when you as an economist look at the way things should be and the way things are, that must be frustrating.
It's incredibly frustrating. And I know that's also frustrating for some of the politicians in the UK, where there have been attempts in the past, and there still are, to collaborate and think across party lines and think long term. But actually making it happen and turning it into reality is another thing. So we've had royal commissions, we've had all sorts of reports about different kind of aspects of aging and improving services for older people. But I do think there is some hope, and I'll give just one example of this, which is the work that was set up by the previous British Prime Minister Theresa May, where she put a lot of emphasis on tackling loneliness and seeing loneliness as a challenge and overcoming loneliness as a way of actually promoting better health, better aging, although actually it affects young people as well. But nonetheless, that is an initiative that's been cross-party, and it continues to be implemented even though the Prime Minister has changed. So I think that's a very positive thing. So you can find examples of this, but you have to take the politics out of it as much as that's possible to
So
do.
how do you get anything done without the politics?
Oh, well.
And it strikes me that we're playing catch up, because the life expectancy has gone from, in the last 50 years, it's gone up, what, 10, 15 years? And yet things haven't changed, really. The retirement age is still the same and all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why more flexibility in the retirement age, I think, is important. So it's not to force people to work longer, but it's to create opportunities for those who do want to work longer to have the opportunity to do that. And that also means part-time work as well as full-time. It also means creating more opportunities for volunteering. And I also think, very realistically, I mean, more of us are going to be having 4 or 5 different careers during our working lives anyway now, because of the way in which the economies are changing. So we do need to be more flexible in that sense.
Yeah, and just back to the individual, because I was saying a win for society and a win for the individual. And all the research points to the fact that if you stay involved at some level, that your outcomes are a lot better. You live longer, your mental health's better, your health's better, all of those things.
That's absolutely true. Having engagement, inclusion, that's why participation in work can be very good, or volunteering can be very good. But I should also point out that you can be in a crowded room with people and be the loneliest person in the room as
Yes,
well.
that's
So
true.
it's about good quality engagement, good quality inclusion. But that there's so much evidence from Ireland and from other countries pointing to the positive impacts that has on both mental and physical health, and the knock-on effects that has on families and communities.
What companies are doing this well?
Well, without naming specific companies, what I would say is that you do see examples of the retail sector, the hotel sector, the leisure sector being much more amenable now to taking on, let's say, more mature workers than perhaps was the case in the past. So I think they're doing steps in the taking steps in the right direction. I think the world of academia and education has made good changes. I mean, there's good examples actually in England. I don't know if it happens in Ireland, where there are people in their 50s going back to teacher training now and then entering the teaching profession. You know, because they've got something they want to give back, and that's been facilitated.
David, they're reacting to our chat on text here. Just completing a PhD in the area of outdoor adventure and ageing, the narrative needs to change, and activities like the park run, as mentioned, and seeing people for their abilities and not age is vital, says that person. And why are older single retired people being penalised for being single by having to pay the single supplements on hotels and holidays? There's an issue. I'll be 60 this year and getting older. I feel like I'm a burden to the state. I'm fed up listening to the talk from politicians, etc., complaining about not being able to afford to look after the old people. That's Sandra. Yeah, so we need to stop saying that, don't we?
I think we absolutely do. But I also think that means we need to change the way in which we think about the economics of aging, or the value of aging is the better way of putting it, because there's so much hidden value that needs to be out in the open.
Just the cold economics of older people don't have children. Well, the children have, you know, they're not responsible for their children anymore. Their mortgages are probably paid off, so they some of them have a lot of disposable income, which contributes to the economy, don't they?
Absolutely. I mean, there was a study, European Commission study, a few years ago, admittedly, that about a third of all the economic spending is actually related to people over the age of 65. So so that grey euro that we're talking about in Maynooth next week, amongst other things, is very important from an economic perspective as well. Older people, the silver power, the grey power, there's a lot of spending power there as well.
And what about language around it? Older people, what's that? Because language is important, isn't it?
Language is important. I mean, I'm not going to claim expertise on the words, but what I will say is that I would never myself personally use the phrase elderly. I just don't think that's appropriate, because I think that's a negative, and there are other kinds of negative ways. I think talking about positive aging, older people, talking in positive, non-discriminatory terms is very important. Yeah. And as I say, I think labelling people with talking about elders or frail people or so forth, I think is the wrong way to go.
It's not good. Dave McDade, Associate Professorial Research Fellow at the London School of Economics, who'll be talking at a loans conference next week in St. Patrick's College, Maynooth. Thanks so much for talking to us today, David. Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Now, your husband, who's out working, retired early. Early, but he didn't retire.
No. He felt he was too young and active and fit to be sitting at home or mowing the lawn or walking the dog.
So tell us his story.
They're all good things too.
Yes.
He worked for 40 years with Inland Fisheries Ireland and loved his work. And I have to say that he's a great bunch of colleagues there, and they all keep in touch. And then he would have volunteered, I suppose, in the last number of years with our local Order of Malta. So he did an EMT course and worked for a while for a private ambulance service, but he found that now was a bit too demanding. And then he went on and he did a bus driver's course and has done a school run there for about the last year or so. And he also did a tour guide course through the ETB. And I'll have to say the ETB are another brilliant organisation. Yes. So he's off at the moment driving a luxury bus tour group around Ireland. And he's loving it. And I'm very proud of him. Just to see him, you know, do all these things. Like, he supported me many years, kind of over, let's say, when I was developing my career and doing maybe extra study and things.
And what
like
did
that.
You do, Mary?
Look, I've done various things, but actually at the moment, and I was very interested in that interview, I work for Age Friendly Ross Grey. And I'm also chair of Tipperary Older People's Council.
What's your take on the whole thing then?
I think there is terrible ageism out there at times with older people, especially around employment and work. I think older people have so much more to give. And a lot of people would probably love to look at, I'm coming up to retirement age myself in another couple of years, and I think I'd like to stay working, but not do a full 5-day week.
Yeah.
And, you know, but definitely have an input, you know. And a lot of older people are great to volunteer. I just see some of the older people that we have that come into us in Age Friendly Ross Grey. They're fantastic.
And Mary, I'm just wondering, you know, because we were talking about burden and, you know, various, the language around it. Do you think people's confidence is knocked when they get to a certain age?
Certainly, yeah. I think some people feel, well, okay, my voice doesn't matter, or, you know, maybe, okay, what's my opinion, you know, or sure, what's the point? I'm older now, it doesn't really matter, you know.
Which is counterintuitive when you think about it, because we go through life and we gather up all this experience and you know, you don't have to call it wisdom, but it is experience in whatever you do. And it just seems ridiculous that people aren't given the opportunity to pass that on to the next generation.
We've a very vocal kind of older people's council, let's say, throughout the country. Each county has an older people's council, and we had our national convention last week there in Kilkenny, and with great discussions, and people were kind of quite vocal about what they needed, you know, to live a long and healthy life and be
and what was the, we're running out of time, unfortunately. We could have spent another 10 minutes with you, but what was the big takeaway from that conference then last week?
A lot of talk about housing, transport, transport services, kind of getting around.
We spoke to a very interesting man there. He was in Australia and he came back and he's written a book on these retirement villages that he witnessed in Australia. And they're brilliant because they're built on the outskirts of town. People who are living out in the country, when it comes to a certain time in their lives, they can move into these. They live independently. They can walk down, get a paper, have a coffee and a chat and all that sort of thing. And we don't have that sort of thing in Ireland.
Skills are, you know, the social interaction is what you need.
And that's
what keeps you going. And that's what we find at work, let's say, at Age Friendly Ross Grey. All our social clubs, our community education classes, there's a buzz and people come in for the chat and they meet their friends. And you see new friendships being formed.
Of course. Mary, I'm sure we'll talk again. ETB is the Educational Training Board, which you mentioned earlier on. And say good luck to Mark, because he's busier now than he was when he was working. Great talking to you, Mary. Bye now.
Okay, bye.
Anish Toshinan, the Prief Skelton, and Ogta, La Marini Hulawan.